Now, because it is our summer program, I am going to aspire to speak shorter. So, aye, thank you very much. Even shorter than Jeff. It's my phone because that's the timer that's on it. I swithered as to whether to go for the timer or whether to go for the stopwatch. But as my kids say, you ignore it when it's a stopwatch. Then I've just gone for the timer. So we're on the clock this morning. This is the last message that we're going to preach in our No Higher Name series. We've been thinking on the scripture, the Psalm 138, that I believe it is over our church for this year. And two things that Psalm 138 says, amongst of lots of things, is that above all things, I have exalted my name and my word. We've been thinking about the name of God, the character, the titles, the name of God. And this morning we're going to think about the name or the title of God that is El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, the all-sufficient one. Who believes that God is all-sufficient? All-sufficient for the world. All-sufficient for Scotland. All-sufficient for Edinburgh. All-sufficient for this church. All-sufficient for you. There's hands at various kind of levels. I believe that this morning that we are invited through encountering El Shaddai, God, Lord God Almighty, that we invited into a number of things, three things in particular. We're invited into an almighty identity, we're invited into an almighty future, and we're invited into having an almighty attitude. Now, I know some folks who on occasions have got an almighty attitude. I mean, an attitude that's influenced, shaped, molded by the Almighty. I mean, a future that is shaped and molded by the Almighty. And I mean an identity that is shaped and that is molded by the Almighty. You know, reputation is a huge thing, isn't it? Say with reputation that it takes a lifetime to earn and a moment to lose. Reputation is big. Careers, respect, standing in the community are built upon who you are understood to be and also what you're capable of. Anybody know who Tim Cook is? No, Tim Cook took over from Steve Jobs as the head of Apple, his successor. And in an interview that was dated in the 21st of February, he said that one of the priorities of his job is learning to say no to a bunch of great ideas in order to keep Apple focused. He recognized that the reputation, their brand, their identity was at stake. That good wasn't enough. The all right didn't make the grade. Now, I don't know whether you're an Apple or an Android devotee, which altar you worship at when it comes to all things tech. I have to say that mine is mine is Android, so I have got no beef with anything or everything that's there. Maybe one day I'll go to the dark side of Apple, but who knows? But what he was saying was that good is not enough. That you need to aim for and aspire to the very, very best. I want to put a spiritual slant and twist on that. Now, regardless of who you are, and regardless of how long that you have lived, I mean, Abram that we're going to look at was 90 years old when he had this encounter moment with God. So each and every one of us can score age off as some way that we would maybe want to try and, remove ourselves from the possibility that this would be a word that God would want to speak into my life or into our life. You know, how you are known and the environment that you create for others to flourish and to encounter Almighty God will define you. Let me say that again. How you are known and the environment that you will create for others to flourish and encounter Almighty God will define you. The spirit of the age is that it's all about me. Spirit of the age is that as long as I'm happy, I'm all right, I'm sorted, I'm good, then that's enough. That's not what the kingdom says. In fact, the kingdom says it's not just enough that you are blessed, that you're, you know, experiencing, encountering God, whether it's in your worship, your praise, your devotional life, or anything else like that. It's not just about you. It's about you and. It is not all right to say in the kingdom of God, I'm all right, Jack. Full stop. Because there's a world that needs to know about the goodness of God and about the love of God. So how you are known and the environment that you create for others to flourish and encounter Almighty God will define you. But in order to let others encounter Almighty God, you need to meet him first. In order for you to experience, or others to experience, you need to meet God first. Because we minister out of relationship, out of experience, and out of our new identity in God. With that in mind, we'll read Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. Oh my goodness, 5 minutes gone already. You know when in the Old Testament they prayed and the sun stopped and the times were suspended for like 30 minutes or what? Oh Lord. Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I'll confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. You might want to keep your Bible open or the tab open on your screen, because we're going to dip back into that and dip into it from verse 9 on in a little bit as well. We've got an invitation to an almighty identity. We've got this invitation where actually Father God has got some great expectations for you. Now, that's not a moment for you to go and read a classic novel or anything, but God has got great expectations for you. His expectation for you is to walk before me and be blameless, to live in transparency and in truth. Anybody nervous yet? Who finds it easy to walk blameless? It's a narrow tightrope, isn't it? Praise God for New Testament, for grace and mercy that he gives us to enable us, to help us, you know, the word and spirit to help us balance as we walk on that tightrope. The Amplified Version says, walk and live habitually before me and be perfect. Be blameless, wholehearted, complete. I don't know about you, I can't do that on my own. I need some help from the outside. I need some help from the Almighty to come. This means that I need to live in light of the fact that heaven watches how I live my life, and that heaven recognizes that I am responsible for my actions before God. What I do with my life and what I do with the invitations that God brings before me becomes my responsibility. Again, are we nervous or we open up our lives to the expectation and to the opportunity that God would give us? Here's the great thing. God's almightiness was God's starting point for all that he would ask of Abram. As he begins to experience this new identity, this future, this attitude that's in God and the covenant that he's invited into, it all starts and is grounded in the almightiness, that I am Lord God Almighty, that I am El Shaddai, that I am the all-sufficient, all-powerful one. You see, up to this point, the previous disclosure of the Lord God Almighty's name to Abram had been El Elyon, which we looked at before, which was God Most High, creator, possessor of heaven and earth, almost like the God who is massive, the God who is out there, But God, you're out there and I'm down here. Yeah? You know, his encounter with God to this point was of God that's creator. But actually, and especially in Genesis, when El Shaddai is the name, is the character, is the title of God, it comes at a moment when somebody is really struggling. It comes at a moment when people feel pressed in, when they need some assurance. Sometimes life's hard, isn't it? Maybe you've gone through some stuff this week. Maybe there's been some pressure that's been on, some difficulties, some challenges. And you're saying, God, you're out there, but where are you? Maybe there's a new future that you're stepping into in God, a new opportunity in God, a new ministry in God, a new sphere of influence or of outreach in God, and you're saying, I'm not so sure what this looks like. Maybe you can't even see ahead of you into your future. And you're not sure what's lying around the corner. Maybe this week you've got some results, some tests, or you get some challenges that's going to be there, some people that you're going to meet, and you don't know how they're going to handle or respond to some of the things. In those moments, the all-sufficient, almighty, all-powerful God comes to you and says, this is who I am. In Genesis 28 and 3, Jacob is blessed by Isaac. In 35 and 11, Jacob is encountering God in the covenant in the new name of Israel. In Genesis 49 and 25, as Jacob is blessing Joseph at the end of his days, it's all this, it's El Shaddai, this God, Lord God Almighty, the all-sufficient, all-powerful one. Not just God who's up here, but God who's right close to you, who has the plan for your future and for your life. This is Almighty God saying, I am for you. I am with you, and I am willing to give you a new identity and a fresh start with me that will permit you to live a fruitful life in relationship with me. As a symbol, as a signal for that, Abram received a new name, Abraham. Abram means high and exalted father, but it was changed from high and exalted father to Abraham, father of a multitude. This was moving the man from an empty position to a fruitful promise. You see, high and exalted father, but he had no children. Imagine him heading down the street, walking down to the shops, folks nudging. Who's that? High and exalted father. Where's the kids carrying the shopping? It's an empty name. From an empty position to a fruitful promise. When Almighty God gives Abram an almighty identity, Abraham, he owned it, he believed it, and he confessed it before he saw it. He could have said, well, God, the moment I start, you know, having to change some nappies, I hear the wah, wah, wah of a child. The moment I hear a child saying, Dad, can I get? Dad, I want. Dad, I need. At that point, I'll change from Abram to Abraham. But there was something of the prophetic that was stirring in Abraham's life, that said, this is from God, this is a moment from God, it's a promise from God, it's something that I haven't seen yet, but I'm willing to believe it. And maybe that's where our encounter with El Shaddai comes. It's in those moments where we have an emptiness about us, of maybe how we're known, of how we've functioned, of how we've been. But God calls us into a place of fruitful promise, and we haven't seen it yet, but tell you what, we're going to step into it. By faith, we're going to receive it. By faith, we're going to believe it. By faith, we're even going to confess it. Now, that's not blab it and grab it. That's hearing from God, his word being confirmed, his covenant being confirmed in our lives, and we're saying, do you know what? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God for his preferred future for my life. This is massive, church. We need to get a hold of this. We need to receive this from the Lord, an almighty identity that was owned, believed, and confessed even before he saw it. Now, our identity is in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a? The old has? Gone. And the new has? The new has come. Yeah, need to give, for those who are going to give participation, need to give, this is the verse you need to shout out in this translation. Our identity is in Christ, that we are new creations, that the old is gone and the new has come, not based in ourselves, but based 100% on the actions of the God-man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came and who bled and who died upon a cross, so that our sin could be forgiven, and so that forgiveness could come our way, so that grace and mercy could come our way, so that we could be adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters of the Most High God, so that all the rights, all the inheritance, our future is secured in Jesus and is ours in Jesus Christ. Yeah. That truly our old has gone. Our Abram has gone. Our Abraham, for want of a better expression, has come. Amen. That we are truly and fully alive in Jesus. That new covenant fulfilled in the blood of Jesus, the price of our sin that was paid and when Jesus died on that cross, the debt that was outstanding of the sin bill of our life before a holy and awesome God that we could not pay and that was not acceptable to God in and of ourselves. Our best effort not acceptable to God. But Jesus' death, the shedding of his blood, gives us the forgiveness of our sins and the welcome into the family of God. It's like those donuts that we were eating that was empty in the middle, the bit with no calories. Those donuts, you know, the emptiness, many people's lives are empty in the middle, isn't it? Everything they try to squeeze in there to make their life feel fulfillment, feel okay, feel happy, it doesn't work. Bible says we're sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's there and it's available. It's for you. It's an invitation to an almighty future. Abram, you and I, we're invited to an as for me moment. In verse 4, you know, we hear God saying to Abram, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. You know what? When you think in the Bible of as for me, I don't know about you, but I automatically go to Joshua. Who says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But here's God inviting you and I to an as for me moment. Here is God committing, covenanting, saying, this is my heart, as for me. And he invites us to an as for me moment. But it's almost, you know, as of tomorrow, the sound of that's the tennis balls going backwards and forwards at the courts at Wimbledon, you know. That's me playing tennis, just in case. Yes, see? See, I did play for a little while in the back garden. It's as though God comes to Abram and says, here's my heart for you. And it goes over the net into our side of the court. This is what I want to do in your life. This is the future that you might have, that could be yours. But what are you going to do about it? There's an identity, but there's an almighty future. God invites you to an as for me moment with the Father of promise. What will you do with my preferred future for your life? Ask God. Is it a yes or is it a no? Is it I'm going to run with it or is it a no? Thank you, God. Abram could have stayed the same. He was wealthy, he was moving about, he had a pattern of life and of all that he was involved in, but he was living outside of his true identity, living far from his true destination and living beneath the true inheritance in God. It was an invitation to covenant, verses 9 and 10, and it goes on to talk about circumcision, it goes on to cutting off things of the flesh at the male point of producing life. It was a symbol of a holy heart relationship that was being set apart for God. The point being that you enter into covenant with God and there was a cost. And I just wonder, what might you say no to in order to say yes to Jesus? The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, verses 25 to 29, especially verse 29, about a new covenant where circumcision wasn't in the flesh, but the circumcision was of the heart. Some breathe a sigh of relief. Circumcision of the heart, which was by the Holy Spirit, that was not a written code. In the New Testament, there was in the book of Acts, this whole consternation because the Jewish people had thought that the gospel was just for them, although it's all through the world and all nations right through the Old Testament, but they thought, we're the people of God, it's just for us. And then all of a sudden, Cornelius gets baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10. All of a sudden, Paul is sent as the apostle to the Gentiles. And it, you know, Acts 15, they begin to have to talk and work through what's this all about. And some of the letters, the backdrop to the letters and the epistles in the New Testament are all about this relationship of what is it to be a Gentile new believer and being grafted into this new covenant, and this covenant that's of God. There's an invitation to covenant, a new covenant for you and for I that's made available in the Lord Jesus Christ. The new covenant that Jesus offers is one of grace and of mercy and of forgiveness. Your "as for me" moment response with Almighty God means that you choose to rely on His all sufficiency and His all power in your everyday. It means when you don't know where to turn that you say, "God, you're all sufficient, you're all powerful." When I don't have the resources to be able to do and handle whatever the situation is, that you're going to say, "God, you're all sufficient and you're all powerful." It means that you say, "God, I'm going to believe it when, as the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Whatever the all things. But as God says, "As for me," towards you, that you say towards God, "As for me." It's an invitation to an almighty attitude. Abraham was not the finished article yet. There's a new name for Abraham, and a new name also for Abraham's wife, from Sarai to Sarah, and the promise of a miracle son together. Remember Isaac? We spoke about him a couple of weeks ago. We were looking at Jehovah Jireh. You can look back in the website, get the live stream and the video content of that, and look back from it. But in the moment when God begins and comes and says to Abram, "By the way, old man, young man, you're going to have a child." This man of 99, in verse 17 of Genesis 17, says, "Abram fell face down, and he laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man that's 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son. You'll call him Isaac. I'll establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants and after him," and goes on to speak there. Time stops me going on and reading the rest of that chapter. Abram's response, where he's invited into this Lord God Almighty partnership, covenant, and future, he is bowed down. He's in the position of worship, but inside he's given it. Ho, 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 did you hear what he just said? He had the outward look of response and of worship and of adoration, but unbelief was in his heart. We're maybe not bowing face down, but are our hands raised? And as we sing songs that declare the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the God's ability to do anything, everything, that He is all powerful, almighty, that He is our Father. Do we laugh when God comes and speaks about our future? Do we believe it when those prophetic words, or when the scripture begins to speak, or the Holy Spirit begins to nudge you about your next step in God? Because He'll always call us into something that's bigger and greater than what we know and who we are. Because that's the realm of faith, church. In those moments, will we laugh? Will we mock? Will we be in unbelief? Or in those moments, will we say, "I'm not sufficient. I'm not powerful enough, but I know who is. El Shaddai invites me to those moments." The outward display of worship, but the inward heart of unbelief. Abraham had to choose between blessing and the multiplication of a future promise. You know, he said, "Oh, if only you'd bless Ishmael, the son of his handmaid Hagar, the son that had been born outside of the covenant that God had said, outside of God's time, and the son that had been born when Abraham tried to make things happen for himself." So if only what was already there could be blessed. Whereas God was calling him to Isaac. God was calling to a multiplication. Ishmael would be blessed by the multiplication of generations and of fruitfulness down through the years, and of kings and of nations would be through Isaac. And I wonder, do we settle for blessing when God wants to give us multiplication of fruitfulness? Oh, blessing is good. But multiplication of fruitfulness, fruit that will last 30, 60, 100-fold. We see our impotence, but El Shaddai, Almighty God, invites us to live beyond impossible. What's your impossible for God? Is there an area, is there something, is there a situation that is before you that you can't see a way through, round, or out of? Is there a sphere of ministry or of opportunity that right now you're scratching your head because God's coming and saying, come on, let's do it, and you're giving it, I can't? Maybe this morning there is a moment for us to need to encounter El Shaddai, that all-sufficient, all-powerful God who says, I've got it, and I've got you. Because in case you didn't notice, I am all-powerful and I am all-sufficient. I am all-encompassing around you. Is there an as-for-me moment hanging from heaven that awaits our response over our lives? Is there an if-only in your heart where God's way is only if you trust me and believe me? Only if you develop your almighty identity with an almighty attitude to experience an almighty future in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is El Shaddai. Amen. Who will you be? Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Worship team, would you maybe come back, please, and join us? We are about to just conclude our time. Apologies, I went 5 minutes over. Take it off somebody from next week. Let me just read, as we prepare just our hearts to respond to the word of God. Prophetic word that Faye had, that she handed me this morning, and said, this might be for today, it might not. And I read it and said, oh, I think this is for today. And it says this. This Faye not really knowing what I was going to be speaking on today. It says, his covenant agreement with us is that he has taken away all our sins. Romans 3:24 says that all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God has received payment in full by the blood of Jesus. He is satisfied. So when you feel unworthy or condemned, remember the price is paid and accepted. So use your receipt from God to declare the debt amount paid and your freedom. Romans 11:29 in the Amplified Version says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when they're given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or whom he sends his call. El Shaddai, all-sufficient, all-powerful God. To those who don't feel worthy, those who don't feel as though, or maybe feel as though they've messed up, missed out, been left out, God says no. Can you hear his as for me as he speaks over your life? Can you hear Father God's as for me as he comes and speaks of covenant, as he speaks of the blood of his son Jesus, as he speaks of the grace and the mercy and the call and the mission? But today, what will your response be in your heart? Today, what will your response be to the call of God for a new identity? To live in the newness of the transformational life and lifestyle that Jesus calls you to and has won through his blood being shed on the cross, through his death and resurrection. In these moments, will you have an outward response with no inward heart? Or will your inward and outward match up? Saying, Lord, I worship you for who you are. Saying, Lord, I invite you to do what you want. Lord, I invite you to mold me, make me into who you need me and want me to be. Saying, Lord, I choose your plan. Lord, I choose your way. I say yes to you? I invite you now in a few moments just of silence to do business with God. You will know the specifics and the specific areas where the Holy Spirit has been knocking in the door of your life or shining his flashlight upon that would highlight things that you already know where he calls you into. His ear is open to hear your response. You'll already know those times and those moments when God says, this is who you are. This is what I want to do, and you've given it. I'll look good on the outside, but on the inside, I'll be far away. I'll be laughing, I'll be mocking, I'll be in unbelief. Can't believe you would do that for me, Lord. Now, today, the invitation from heaven is to encounter and experience El Shaddai. Will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to his ways? Will you count that cost? We've had a great morning in this place. We've an awesome sense of God's presence in our worship. We've got to know each other a little bit better. But at this point, at this time, after the Word of God, we get to know God better. And friends, that's what it's all about. So as your sign, as your response this morning, if you're saying, Lord, I want to encounter El Shaddai, then as the band lead us in a final song, I want to invite you to stand, but please don't just stand because everybody else is standing. Stand because you want to worship. Stand because you're saying, you're responding to his as for me. Stand because you don't want to just have an outward response, but no heart response. You're responding because your heart is leaping within you and saying, I am overflowing with praise out of my identity, my attitude, and my future that's in God. So if that's you this morning, I invite you to stand as we worship, as we sing. I want to tell you, I'm at the front. I'm standing because I have been standing, but right now I am standing because I'm saying, Almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful God, I need you. I need you. We need you as church. We need you in behalf of this city. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's worship. Make this our response this morning.